It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Earlier this month, the Trump administration announced a new directive to bar immigrant families lacking permanent legal status from accessing federally funded programs, including Head Start. Head Start provides free childcare, preschool, and various other services to over 13,000 Wisconsin children from low-income families each year. The Wisconsin Head Start Association is among a group of organizations represented in a lawsuit against the Trump administration challenging this and other changes the federal government has made to the program. And more recently, Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call has signed onto a separate Head Start lawsuit against the Trump administration involving a coalition of 20 attorneys general around the country. We're checking in on how Head Start programs in the state have been affected as they navigate these changes. April Mullins-Datko is Head Start Director for ADVOCAP. That's a social service agency serving Fond du Lac, Winnebago, and Green Lake counties. April, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you for having me.
And Jenny Maurer is here, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Head Start Association. Jenny, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Jenny, your association joined up with Head Start associations of Washington State, Illinois, Pennsylvania, some parent groups to bring the suit. What is the status of the ACLU lawsuit that your organization is a part of, considering the latest directive out of the Trump administration on Head Start?
Yeah, great question. So it was just filed this week, and we're waiting for a response. And we're really hopeful that we'll see some relief that will really help protect kids and families and will really help to allow Head Start programs to keep serving kids and families and allow programs just to keep doing the great work that they're doing across our state.
And so the Health and Human Services Department issues this directive that reinterprets a law to expand the definition of federal public benefit. What does that mean for Head Start under this new interpretation of the law?
So I think part of the lawsuit is that it's incredibly confusing about what it means for programs. The law is incredibly vague. Right now, Head Start programs are not required to check immigration status. And the rule is incredibly vague, and it's unclear exactly how programs would do this. So much of what Head Start does is about creating a safe and welcoming place for kids and families. And while Head Start programs are really compliance driven and focused on quality, this rule, again, is confusing, and it's unclear how it would be implemented. It adds a layer of fear and mistrust if programs would have to be asking about these really sensitive family dynamics. And it's just really unclear how programs would add this additional piece to their mix.
April, do you know how much of the population you serve are undocumented families and what kind of impact this directive could have in your area?
So I don't have any hard statistics about that because we're not required to check that. We gather other sensitive family data about income and family makeup and size and housing status. Like all the, we gather lots of sensitive data, but that's just not a point. That's not one that is one that we've been trained or have been told how to implement with our families and in our programs.
Do you think, April, that this directive could have a chilling effect on Head Start attendance?
There is no question that it is having a chilling effect on our attendance. When just ruminations of this were coming out in the spring, we noted that we had some families of Latino descent who were not attending the program, and we had to continually reach out and just let them know that, hey, we're here to support you. We're not going to can't give access to your kid to anyone who is not that you've not given us permission to do so with, so that just letting them know that we're safe, that you don't have to worry about someone accessing your child illegally in one of our centers.
So, Jenny, if Head Start programs aren't tracking this type of demographic information, what would stop local programs from continuing to serve their communities as normal?
What would stop them?
If you can't, if you can't, if you're not tracking this type of information, could you not just keep business going, programs continuing to serve the community as usual?
Yeah, so I think the guidance that we've, as an association, given to programs right now is to pause and take a moment to give all of the authorities the time to interpret this guidance, to wait for our legal counsel to work this through the courts, and to not jump to conclusions, because what we don't want to do is create fear and chaos amongst our communities. Kate, what we know about Head Start is that the majority of Head Start families are working families, and we don't want to sow fear and chaos and mistrust with our families. And so what we have said to our programs when this came out recently was, we know this is scary, but hold on. Don't make any big changes. And exactly as you said, Kate, keep serving kids and families, and we're going to find out more. And that's part of why we worked very quickly with the ACLU to amend our previous complaint to say, we have to figure this out. This is incredibly confusing. It's totally unclear how we would even implement it. And we believe implementing it is in direct contradiction with the Head Start Act. And so we really wanted programs to not make any rushes to judgment. One of the features of the Head Start Act and performance standards is that programs do not have to, if a family is already enrolled, they don't have to take steps to redetermine eligibility. So really just to pause and not do anything dramatic in the moment, and wait until we can get more information about this, and to really be communicating and doing all the great things that Head Start programs are already doing with kids and families, which is creating that welcoming and positive environment that allows kids to thrive and allows parents to get to work in our communities across Wisconsin.
And just to be clear, you haven't received implementation guidance, from Health and Human Services or any part of the federal government?
No, there has not been any implementation details that have been released in addition to the rule. No.
We are talking about how federal changes are impacting Head Start programs in Wisconsin. We have the head of the Wisconsin Head Start Association Executive Director, Jenny Maurer, and AdvoCAP's Head Start Director, April Mullins-Datko. Congress's Nonpartisan Government Accountability Office released a report yesterday concluding that the Trump administration illegally withheld funding from the Head Start program in the first months of President Trump's term. Jenny, what is your reaction to that finding from a government watchdog?
I think it's really just a confirmation of what I know programs experienced. AdvoCAP, in fact, was one of the programs that experienced an extended delay where programs really the program the that grantees had to use to access their funding that they had already been obligated by the federal government, they were totally cut off from accessing that system. So imagine if you went to your bank and they said, you can't access your funds. That's effectively what happened to all of the grantees in Wisconsin. And over the course of several weeks and into months, programs were not able to access their previously obligated funds for things like payroll, mortgage, rent. And there was no communication, no explanation from the federal government about why this was happening. And it gradually got better, but it really sowed chaos. And what that GAO report is saying is that's not okay. This isn't how the federal government should be operating. There's a certain way that things should work when we're dealing with grantees. And it's so I think it's just really a validation that that wasn't appropriate. It's illegal. It was an impoundment by the federal government. And this can't be the way that the government interacts with our communities.
April, you felt that firsthand. Can you talk about what it felt like in those months and what you are hoping to happen here in the future for your Head Start programs?
When it initially happened, it was there was just a lot of concern because Head Start programs, we function for as reimbursement on a reimbursement basis. So we have to, incur a month of expense before we can get reimbursed for that. So we were already in need of our reimbursement for that month, and we couldn't access the payment management system. So it was just very chaotic. And luckily, I have a very, very supportive board of directors, and our executive director, Tanya Marco, very committed to our program. And we were functioning on a line of credit. We knew we had a little bit of time, before we would have to shut the doors. So we just really, really advocated hard for the release of those funds, and it took some time, but we were eventually reimbursed, and now we're kind of on a more predictable schedule. Like, they're taking longer than they used to, but we know it's going to take a little bit longer. So, we kind of plan that into our,
Your
to
monthly.
our request.
Jenny and April, thank you for this update on the situation. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for your coverage.
Thanks for having us.
That is Jenny Maurer, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Head Start Association, and April Mullins-Datko, Head Start Director for AdvoCAP in Fond du Lac.